Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Here we are, Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
When the Giants come to town, it's bye-bye, baby. Come on, Mike. When the Giants hit that baseball. Come on, dude.
I don't know this song.
It's bye-bye, baby. Dude, Giants.
I don't know this song.
Dude, I know this is a hockey podcast, but there are a lot of listeners who are Giants fans, so I just got to say my attention is divided right now. I'm very excited about the Giants, and they're going to be playing the Phillies, dude. So, yeah. I've got a little bit of a conflict of interest on Tuesday night, dude.
Do you?
I do. We have tickets to see the Sharks play the Carolina Hurricanes, and the Giants are going to have a game against the Phillies that night.
Eesh. So I guess you're TiVoing Giants? That's tough, huh? Because you know they're probably going to show it on the scoreboard and stuff during the game.
Yeah, I think if you go to the Sharks game, you got to know that you're going to have it. You're gonna have it ruined.
Yeah,
full, because someone will be probably the drunk people next to us will be listening to it on the radio.
Yeah, most likely.
Maybe that's what I'll do. I'll be the guy.
You should be the.
Should
drunk
I
guy.
Be the guy standing up like the Sharks are? You know, in the middle of some sort of mundane line change, and I stand up in the middle of the game, home run.
Yeah, you can be that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be.
Dude, sweet. What's new with you?
Dude, I went to the Alice in Chains concert last night.
Really?
I thought you were about to sing an Alice in Chains song, so that's why I was sort of joining in at first. I thought we were going to bust into some early 90s grunge act. But,
I know an Alice in Chains song.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
No, you do not.
Sing one, dude.
No.
Why not?
Bye, baby. Wait, no, that's not Alice in Chains.
Now you're mocking. Now you're mocking me and the other listeners who love baseball.
No,
admit you watched the Giants game the other night.
I totally admit it, and it was a good game, and I even watched the Phillies game afterwards.
Wow.
I know.
Were you bored?
A little
so
bit.
So bored.
It was.
What happened? Your Xbox broke?
No.
You couldn't play COD with your friends?
Dude.
Cover me. I'm going in over. This is Platoon 42.
Dude.
We're going in. We're storming the beach. We're storming. Somebody cover me.
Mom phone. Can you get the phone, Mom?
Now we have to put a link to that.
Whitest kids you know.
Whitest kids you know Call of Duty sketch. We'll have to do that.
All right.
Dude, let's talk Sharks hockey. The Sharks are 1-0-1.
Mm-hmm.
A successful trip to Sweden, dude.
3 points out of four. I guess you got to take it. There were certainly some down times in both games. Sharks were awesome in game one, then had basically a bad minute, gave up two goals in a minute or 15 seconds or whatever it was, and then just shut them out the rest of the way. And scored in the third period. So
yeah, Vlasic had a terrible turnover in game one that led to, you know, that second goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where Morrow sort of stormed Niemi. What did you think about Niemi's performance in game one?
I thought it was good. I mean, it's what we've expected so far, right? Good in traffic, good down low, up high with the glove hand. He's a little deep in the net. Those kinds of goals might go in. That's basically what we saw. It's more of the same. So, but we can't say the same about Nidamaki, right? I think he admitted himself post game after game two that two of the three goals were of the weak variety, especially the first one, and even he thought the overtime goal he should have had. So
yeah, the save percentages kind of speak for themselves. I know it's just one game, but Niemi's was .940 and Nidamaki's was .880.
Aye-hoo.
You know, that's not good. And his glove hand was wretched.
Yeah.
Not good. I think instead of waving Thomas Greiss this week, they should have waved Nidamaki's glove.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was a pretty... There were some clunkers off that glove, and some of them just ended up being rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
But the one at the end, I mean, that's the save you got to make.
Yeah, yeah.
That's got to happen.
Maybe he got Brooks Conrad's glove by mistake there.
Oh, nice.
Look at me making a baseball reference.
Hey-o.
Hey now.
Dude... What has possessed Joe Thornton to shoot and score?
I think he's got an extra letter on his jersey, so all of a sudden he's a different player, right? Is that how the thinking goes now?
Yeah, leading goal scorer for the San Jose Sharks, Joe Thornton with two.
Yeah.
What? And two kind of fun goals,
yeah,
actually.
I mean,
the first one on a breakaway, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one on the power play, he just kind of did it himself.
Right, right.
And you know, no one's expecting it.
And there was another time where there was a 2-on-1, and instead of dishing, he shot. So
I love it.
You could have picked up my jaw from the floor after seeing that. So that was it's good stuff to see. I mean, the same questions. It's too early to say anything about this team. I mean, the questions are still ongoing. But let's talk. There's plenty more Sharks news here. So Tommy Wingles got sent down. Okay, let's talk about Thomas Greiss first. So
okay.
Thomas Greiss got sent down, okay, which I guess everybody sort of expected. But he did have to clear waivers. The reason being, although he hasn't played a lot of NHL games, the other thing that sort of factors into whether you have to clear waivers or not is how long you've had a contract and how... Basically, Thomas Greiss was drafted in 2004 or 2005, okay? So he's several years out of his entry-level deal. And because of the length of that time, regardless of how many games he's played, because of his age, he has to clear waivers now. So I read all these rumors saying, okay, well, Thomas Greiss is going to get claimed. It's sort of almost like a foregone conclusion. Maybe I just read that on Sharks.com or something, and they said, well, he's obviously awesome, so someone's going to claim him. But we found out today, cleared waivers, so I guess he's going down to Worcester. Now it's getting a little crowded down there.
Yeah, this was something that actually was posted on the blog today, I think, by Tom, one of our readers and mm-hmm. listeners, who made a comment about, you know, is it possible that we've all kind of overvalued the value of Thomas Greiss?
I think
clearly
that's, yes.
We have. And I know that you ran some numbers this week, and I initially was pretty irritated that the Sharks waived Greiss. They really couldn't get anything for this guy. I mean, mm-hmm. nothing. And then you opened my eyes. Tell me the story.
Well, I opened your eyes with Ray Emery to start out. Well, Ray Emery's let's
yeah, but he's not necessarily healthy.
No, but there's goalies on the market. And looking at Thomas Greiss, you look at his stats, and you know the AHL doesn't keep a lot of stats, but the best stat of the general stats that are kept is save percentage for goalies. Of course, it's not perfect. It's not the best stat. It doesn't factor into account quality of shots and things like that. If you read Behind the Net, Gabe Desjardins' blog, or Puck Prospectus or something like that, you'll probably get a lot more info on that. But let's just go by save percentage. Okay, so 2 years ago, in 06-07, let's go back to 06-07, Thomas Greiss had a .912 save percentage, good for 14th in the AHL amongst goaltenders that qualified, meaning they had enough minutes, basically.
Right.
.912 in the NHL, I would consider to be middle of the pack kind of number. And 14th out of all the AHL goalies is about middle of the pack, right? That's about in the middle, okay? Let's look at 07-08, the next year. .892, okay? Also qualified for the stats. That was number 41 out of 43 goaltenders that qualified. So third to last. Okay, that's 41 games played. That's not good. That's not a good number. Let's look at 08-09, number 26 in the league with a .907 save percentage. Now, between 900 and 910 in the NHL, I consider that to be your job is sort of skating a little bit. Under 900, you're in trouble if you're even playing. Over 910, your league average. Over 920, you're among the better goaltenders in the league. So let's be honest about Thomas Greiss. He hasn't put up stellar numbers in the AHL, okay? He just hasn't. He's been a workhorse. He owns a lot of records in Worcester for goaltending. This guy is not hasn't put up elite numbers yet. So end of that statistical discussion. I still think the Sharks should have given him a chance at the NHL level. I still wish they had. It doesn't necessarily mean he can't be a good NHL goaltender. We don't know that. But this certainly seems to explain why he cleared waivers.
May I cross-examine, counselor?
Please.
What does this mean for the development of Alex Stalock now that Thomas Greiss is going to be hanging out in Worcester looking for, a trip to Fenway Park or something like that? I mean, right. What is this going to do to Stalock? Are the Sharks just going to ignore Greiss and not play him? Or are they going to continue maybe a timeshare situation? I mean, they've got a little bit of a rental problem on their hands here, right?
They do. I think that you have to think, and I mean, we're going to find out in the next 10 or 15 games when we look at who plays. You got to think that Stalock is now the priority in the AHL, right? I mean, clearly they didn't show him. Greiss didn't show enough in camp. He didn't show enough last year. to really make a run at any kind of job, and Stalock sort of seized the reins last year. So why would you just suddenly install Greiss and give him a lot of minutes when Stalock set a bunch of rookie goaltending records there, had a good season, everybody's excited about this kid? Why would you then go with the 25-year-old goaltender that hasn't quite done anything yet?
So is Greiss completely off the map? Is he fallen behind Stalock on the depth chart? If the Sharks had to call up a goalie tomorrow, who would it be?
Well, it might still be Greiss, because it would be a guy that they probably wouldn't anticipate would play a lot.
Right.
So if you're talking about that, it might still be Greiss. But in terms of the overall depth chart, if every goal, if you could only, you know, set the depth chart of the entire franchise top to bottom, I think Greiss would be behind Stalock. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to say that at this point. So
interesting. Well, we'll have to keep an eye on it to see how it develops. So Greiss waived, Greiss not claimed, Greiss still Shark.
Yeah.
Greiss in Worcester.
Greiss in Worcester.
That's the story. And he's not alone in Worcester, is he, dude?
No, actually, dude, you ready for this?
You know what time it is. It's G2 Watch 2010! Seriously?
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude, nice clip, dude.
Thanks, dude.
It's no longer Lemieux Watch.
Yes.
It's Chichu Watch, dude.
Chichu Watch. For those of you that have been with us a long time, we had that for Lemieux Watch back when Claude Lemieux was in the minors, and now Chichu's tearing up the minor leagues. I mean, we're 2 games in, but he has 5 points in 2 games, 3 goals. Two goals, 3 assists.
Yeah, and you know what? I hope he's not happy with it.
Yeah.
He needs to keep going.
Right.
I guess from Doug Wilson's perspective, why not?
Yeah.
They've got Chichu playing on the top line down there. I think he's playing with Ben Ferriero and Steven Zaleski.
Mm-hmm.
So, dude,
why not?
I guess my only question there is, if Chichu keeps ripping it up, like, what the hell are we supposed to do with him? We've seen Chichu be unproductive in a fourth line role before.
Yes.
So what if this guy has 60 points in 40 games in Worcester?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
I think
so. We're supposed to trade Seto or Klo and bring up Chichu and put all our faith in him again?
No.
I think this is a longer shot than Claude Lemieux being on the team.
I agree with you.
This is a longer shot.
I think even if Chichu continues at a blistering pace of scoring and looks like he has regained his scoring touch, if he gets picked up by an NHL team, it won't be the Sharks. That's my gut feeling, because he's only on a tryout deal for the AHL now. He's not even going to be offered an NHL contract, which means any NHL team could take him at any time.
Right.
So it doesn't mean that the Sharks have right of first refusal or anything. It's just that they happen to know all the people that work in Worcester, so they can talk to Roy Sommer every day and say, hey, how's this kid doing? Is he, you know, is he awesome, or is he just, you know, a good, is he Jason Krogh? Is he the good NHL player? So, but I mean, realistically, I think the chance of him being on the Sharks, 5% under, between 0 and 5%.
It's going to take an injury or a trade situation, which, you know,
I mean, and Chichu has to continue to rip it up.
Right. Yeah, I don't know, dude. I wish him the best.
Yeah.
I hope he does great.
It's a good story.
If he ends up back in teal, it will certainly be with a knot in my stomach, I think,
right.
If he ends up coming back up, because it's going to be hard to expect to see the 50-goal Chichu,
right.
You know, no matter what's happening down there. But we'll keep our eye on it for sure. We encourage everybody to do the same thing. So Cheech, rocking the Worcester.
Yeah, and I mean, I think people said that, oh, he suffered a crisis of confidence, and if he can regain it in Worcester, who knows? You know, he could be a very effective player again. Who knows? I mean, he's the guy that gets the puck off his stick really quickly, doesn't create his own chances, but you give him a little bit of space and the puck on his stick, he's going to hurt you. He's got a great shot, so great wrist shot. So
I got a couple of questions for you about going back to our Columbus games here in Sweden.
Yeah.
Besides Joe Thornton, and we talked about the goalies, what Sharks player jumped out at you as maybe having the best debut in the 2 games in Sweden?
Logan Couture. Logan Couture had a really good game. I'd like to see. I thought Mitchell played well.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Yeah,
I was going to say Torrey Mitchell, who I've been really down on and was kind of advocating to be a throw-in to trades. I had given up on him because I didn't think he had a nose for the net mm-hmm. anymore. And boy, did he prove us wrong in the first game. I mean, he scored a goal.
Sort of a lucky one.
Yeah, really. but he was there.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's going for a wraparound, right? And mm-hmm. he took a shot and it went in.
Right.
But he shot the puck and mm-hmm. he was close to the net. And I don't remember him last year being in that position rarely ever. He seemed to be on the perimeter all the time.
Right.
He was playing well. He was aggressive. He looked healthy. He used speed and he tried the move. The thing I liked is in the second game, he tried it again on Mason.
Yeah, nice.
He tried it again.
Why not?
And why not? That's what scorers do. You're going to go after the same move that worked once. All right, meet. I'm going at you again. Mm-hmm. Stop it. And I hope that we continue to see that from Torrey Mitchell. In the game, dude, I noticed that on the power play, they have Boyle and Demers split up. Mm-hmm. And on one power play unit, they have Pavs playing the point. Did you notice who's playing the point on the other one?
No.
Seto.
Really?
Which I thought was interesting. And I don't know if they did it the whole game, but they had Seto at the other point.
Hmm.
So is this the current solution for the Sharks really only having two offensive-minded defensemen down the power play? They're just going to load up with forwards and say... you know, because Pavs actually, he does a pretty good job of keeping the puck in there, yep. and he had a really good keep mm-hmm. on one of the power plays. Rolling Seto out there from the point, maybe exchanging him with Heatley every now and then, and having that big booming slap shot, which we don't have mm-hmm. with, I mean, they even played Murray for a little bit on the power play, which I think that's a dead end street.
Yeah.
But interesting to see them playing Seto, dude. We do miss Blake shot,
yeah.
you know, for sure.
Well, you do it until it doesn't work, right?
Yeah,
and then
I guess.
You try something else.
Yeah, I guess so. One thing that I did notice is the lack of goal production or even real great quality scoring chances consistently even strength.
Right.
Sharks tallied most of their goals or all of their goals except for one on the power play.
Mm-hmm.
Too early.
Too early.
Concerned.
Too early.
You know, but something to keep an eye on.
Sure.
Good teams score on special teams, but good teams need to be a little bit better even strength.
Right.
The Sharks right now, one goal even strength in two games against a mediocre team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got to see a little bit of improvement in that area.
True. Last bit of Sharks news. Well, only peripherally related to Sharks, but Andres Lilja signed with the Ducks. So the Sharks released him, and then he signed with the Ducks. The Ducks lost Andy Sutton to injury already?
Yeah, Andy Sutton's out for, I believe, 6 to 8 weeks with thumb surgery.
Which is awesome. Uh-huh. I mean, that makes the Ducks D that much worse.
Yeah, Tony Lidman has not even been able to skate. He's having vision problems. You know, I think maybe it's Bob Murray who's having vision problems signing those two bozos. But, you know, his response is Andres Lilja, who, you know, we saw him. He's a serviceable 5-6 guy. If he's going to be playing top 2 minutes for them, then that's good news for us.
Good
yeah?
news for us.
Boy, oh boy, dude, the Ducks, 0-3.
Yeah, they're getting crushed.
They scored 2 goals in three games. They're yeah. so bad. They got murdered by St. Louis yesterday. Dude, 0-3, 2 goals for 13. Against.
Oh, man.
This is, now granted, all 3 games on the road, but I don't care. That is bad. That is bad.
There's only
one team that's given up more goals.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never guess who it is.
Well, somebody got worked like 6 or 7 in the first game. So I'm going to go with, who was that, Boston or something? Who was it?
In their second game, this team gave up 7 to Washington. The Devils.
Oh, the Devils.
The Devils. Yep, we know that won't last, but no. They're currently the most porous D or goalie situation in the NHL. Dude, any other things or thoughts before we jump into emails?
No, I think let's do emails because we got plenty of NHL news to talk about. So we gotta rip through it. So let's get to Eric.
Eric with the best signature to an email I think we've ever seen.
Yeah, I love hearing myself type.
Eric.
Eric. So... Anyway, so he's looking for a crazy trade. A lot of people requesting the crazy trade music, which
is very popular,
which I like, which I'm trying to find. Here we go.
Crazy trade.
All right. He mentioned lots of players in the early part of his email, but then not Ryan Klo, but he's predicting lots of good things for Pavs. He's predicting 30 goals for Pavs. He's predicting 30 goals for Seto. He's predicting 30 goals for Tommy Wingles.
30 goals for everyone.
30 goals for
30
everyone.
30 goals for Tommy Wingles.
I'm not reading so good. I don't think he said that. He's saying 20 goals and 30 assists for Klo. If he takes a major step forward, we keep him. If he doesn't, he's an incredibly valuable trade piece.
Agreed.
And he wants Chara.
Okay, well, that's... And he sent us a follow-up email.
He sent us a follow-up.
Obviously, that, like, I think that day when he sent the emails when Chara signed the extension.
Right.
So that's not an option anymore.
But he was thinking Klo first rounder, Vallin, and Huskins for Chara. Now, assuming that Klo, that Chara didn't sign an extension... Is this what do you make of this trade proposal?
I like his style. The price is not right. The price is not right.
For Boston, you mean?
No. Yeah. For Boston, it's not right.
That's,
I think this is the price I think they'd be looking for. I think they'd be looking for Chara. They'd be looking for a first. They'd probably want Couture.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd probably want Patrecki.
Right.
Now that's the
and
price.
Maybe a player.
Yeah. And like they're talking, they want two of your best young, cheap players and a first.
And a roster player that
yeah. And then you give them, and then you might have to give them, you know, Klo or Seto.
Seriously.
So that's not something we're in the position to do, especially for a guy who is unrestricted. The price for someone like that would be just outrageous.
Yeah. Eric, I like the cut of your jib on that trade proposal, but trying to dump two bad contracts on Boston in exchange for their best defenseman, one of the best defensemen in the league, who is last few years a perennial Norris Trophy candidate. While it's rose-colored glasses. Let's put it that way. So, but of course, Chara was... resigned.
Right. So, dude, this leads into, I'm starting a new feature on the blog, and we're going to talk about it on the podcast, and I'm going to start this next week.
Okay.
I'm going to start a shopping list that's going to be updated weekly based on teams and their defensemen and how they're playing. And this is the Sharks wish list, and it's not going to be from teams like, I'm not going to include a player like Chara. All right, mm-hmm. Just not available.
Right.
Not an option. We're not going to include guys like Mike Green or Duncan Keith.
Yeah.
Just not available. We would include a player like, I can tell you, he'll be on the list, Yanni Pitkinen.
Absolutely.
Who I watched play, you know, the two games against Minnesota, and we're going to see him firsthand in Carolina. This guy has just gotten better and better and better, and he was so one-dimensional when he was with the Flyers and with Edmonton early in his career. He's really coming into his own. Playing, you know, Dan Boyle type minutes on the blue line, but he's got that big shot that he could be the replacement for Rob Blake.
Mm-hmm.
Now the price is going to be a little high,
a little pricey
for Pitkinen, but not in Chara territory. So I'm talking about guys like that. I'm talking about another guy who was in the news this week, like a guy like James Wisniewski, who had some kind gestures for Mr. Sean Avery.
Yeah, you got to find the YouTube of that. That's as much. It's a family show
for so adults only.
We're not gonna. Yeah, it's for adults only.
He got suspended two games for that.
Oh, he did. Okay, I didn't see that.
And he should.
Yeah,
I mean, what he did. what he did, I think, is worse than. I mean, would you say worse than flipping the bird?
Yeah.
What's worse, what he did or what the English soccer player did from Newcastle when he mooned the crowd?
I'm going to go with the mooning is worse.
Oh, wow. I still think what Wisniewski did was worse.
I mean, the guy actually dropped his pants. I mean, it wasn't like the simulated T.O. mooning.
I think this
it was the actual mooning.
I think this is more correct.
Was it a disgusting act, as Joe Buck would say?
It was a disgusting act. But I admit to laughing pretty hard.
Yeah.
You got to look it up. Yeah. It's everywhere on the internet. It's definitely worth checking out. But a guy like James Wisniewski, I think on a bad team, in a contract year, he's going to be available. So we're going to be looking at those types of guys. Guys who could actually make a legit impact on the team. We're going to start that shopping list next week. It's never too soon to start shopping, dude.
All right, let's continue with the emails. It's questions at dudesonhockey.com. So thanks for writing in. This email from Lore.
Lore.
L-O-R. That's a, you know, and is his last name is also missing a vowel or two. So let's see. Let's guess. Lore. Is that, I mean, it could be Swedish. I'm gonna go with Danish.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, Lore, let us know. Who's right? Dude, what's your guess?
What's the last name?
Well, I don't want to say it on the air.
Oh, okay.
But you can read it right here.
I'm going to say Japanese.
I think you're a little off.
Oh, okay.
You're not going to make a real guess? Could be Eastern.
Hungarian.
Okay, that's a good guess.
Okay.
That's a good guess. Okay, so, Lore, let us know. Lore is commenting on our poll question, which I might add might have been the closest poll question in the history of the blog. So,
Who would you rather sit next to?
Two really drunk, really loud jerks, or Stammer and Junior Stammer, which are the names of the two guys that we gave to the people that sit behind us and pretend to be bad hockey analysts, yelling out things as if they're teaching a class in hockey. So
get back in your net.
Two really loud, really drunk, really loud jerks actually is slightly ahead. 52% of the vote, 24 to 22. It's close. Yeah. I'm going to leave it open for another week. For those of you who haven't voted, we want to hear from you. I want to see if this diverges and there becomes a clear winner here, or if it's just going to come down to the wire. I think I have made up my mind, dude, on this question. I just couldn't commit one way or the other. Have you made up your mind?
I'm still on the fence. Tell me what your opinion is.
I'm voting for Stammer, Junior Stammer.
That's worse?
No, I would rather sit next to Stemmer and Junior Stemmer.
So what's going to happen if we get the drunks again?
We're not. Think positive. Okay, on to Lore's email. Having been born and raised in Santa Clara and never attending another game in another NHL city, I cannot compare sitting in HP Pavilion to other locales. Maybe San Jose is different, but do you think that this sort of behavior exists in other NHL cities? I don't know. Most likely of all, I just don't know what I'm talking about, but I would be happier as a Clam in SJ after taking in a game at Madison Square Garden or Air Canada Center. So I've been to the Pond. We went to the Rock. We went to New Jersey and saw a game there. This year we are breaking the, Doug is bringing out something special. What are you bringing out, dude?
Dude, I have our tickets.
You have our tickets.
We're actually going to Madison Square Garden so we can answer this question for you in December. You know,
yeah.
Those who've been with us for a while, you know that Mike and I and our lovely wives, we take a trip usually over Christmas to New York. Two years ago, we went and saw the Devils and Sharks in New Jersey. This year, we're going to see the Islanders and the Rangers.
Yeah.
We got a steal, dude.
Dude, nice.
Dude, we're going to be sitting in a luxury box there in Madison Square Garden, dude. It was just too good to pass up. So we dropped some decent coin,
yeah,
but not too outrageous. And we're not even gonna have to get up. Sean Avery will actually come to our seats,
nice.
And you can make the gesture in his face with him right there. So, dude, you've been to a game in Anaheim.
Yeah,
I've been to a game at Nassau at the Islanders.
Would you say that there's really any difference in this sort of behavior?
Probably not. Yeah. I have to say that actually our experience in New Jersey was much more pleasant than I think we anticipated.
Yeah.
We got some grief as we were walking around, but really nothing that bad.
No.
Laura, I would say I've experienced much worse, especially at a Giants Dodgers game in LA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is a, you know, bring your own weapon situation.
Yeah.
In terms of fan unruliness and sort of uncouth behavior, dude.
Right. And to be honest, I haven't, this was really an anomaly for me. I mean, we've been to hundreds of Sharks games, and this was probably the drunkest, most annoying people that I've seen. I mean, I've seen drunk, annoying people at Sharks games before, but this combination of unfunniness and drunkenness together was really something to behold.
No worries, Lore. I think you could find this anywhere, and we're certainly going to probably one of the meccas of drunk sports fans, Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
And we'll give you a full report when we get back.
Absolutely.
And we'll do a side-by-side comparison. Maybe Mike will even run some stats.
Yeah, I'll see if I can gather anything on that. Right. Dude, let's talk about, there's NHL news. The NHL season's back. I'm very excited. I bought my game center again because I still can't get center ice, and I'm pissed off about that.
I have game center this year, too, on my computer.
Yeah, so it's cool. So game center is where it's at. So big news, the Hjalmarsson hit on Jason Pominville.
Right, and he's out indefinitely.
Yeah, Jason Pominville's out. So if you have him on your fantasy team, which we do in one of our leagues.
We dropped him.
We dropped him like a bad habit. So
we don't like guys with concussions.
Yeah, get out of here. What's 2 plus 2? Too long, you're dropped. So Hjalmarsson looks like he's probably going to be suspended by this.
He did get suspended.
Okay.
Two games.
So
you, the equivalent of hitting someone from behind and making a lewd gesture is the same.
Okay. At least now we have that calculation. What if you hit someone from behind while making a lewd gesture? Is that is that just additive?
That's actually one game.
Oh, because it's just extra skill.
For creativity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Jeff Finger. There's important Jeff Finger news, I'm told. Dude, you're waving?
That's what happened to him.
Oh.
He got waved. Cliff Fletcher's final mistake has been exercised in Toronto. So they're just going to send him down. I mean, that gives the Leafs, who have, you know, a little bit of a cap issue for a really bad team, a little bit more flexibility to take on some more bad contracts. So congrats.
All right, dude, let's do some previews. Atlanta, Carolina this coming week.
Yeah, opening night, dude. Atlanta, you know, they are playing in L.A. right now. I'm not sure what the final score is. They're losing 2-1. They lost at Tampa Bay 5-3. They beat Washington home. Guys who are standing out for them early, Evander Kane. He's among the league leaders in shots taken already. He's in Nash and Hossa territory.
Wow.
With 12 shots in two games.
Wow.
So this guy is a second year pro. He's firing the puck. We should keep our eye on him. What about their goalie situation, dude? What's going on with Pavlicek?
Yeah, or Pavlich.
Whatever.
Yeah, he just fainted. No one around him. He just fainted.
Oh, my stars. I do declare it's very warm here in Atlanta. I think I'm going down. Somebody tell Rhett Butler to get the smelling salts.
Frankly, Pavlich, I don't give a damn. Yeah, so he just fainted dead away, basically. And now they're playing the backup. So, okay. I don't know who we're going to see, but
it's Chris Mason, man.
Oh, that's right, Chris Mason. Yeah, Chris Mason apparently gave himself a little bit of a concussion because he just hit his head on the ice. That's got to suck.
Is the war over?
Oh, my. Carolina. Two
wins over a team that's kind of struggling in Minnesota, but that game were in Finland. Cam Ward played great.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Sutter is playing big minutes for them, and he scored two goals. I like Jamie McBain.
Yeah.
He looks like a good player. I like Pitkinen. Did we maybe underestimate Carolina?
We might have, yeah.
As being a team that could contend for a playoff spot.
And I might have overestimated the Calgary Flames because I picked them to finish second in their division and they got absolutely housed by Edmonton opening night.
Now, they did come back and win the next game and I think they beat a decent team. I can't remember who they beat, dude. I'm going to tell you right now.
Okay.
They beat LA. Okay. I mean, so they beat LA 3-1. But I did watch most of that game against Edmonton. Not good. Not good. And it had the look of a team that was completely disinterested. Like once they were down,
they just forgot.
They just forgot that they just weren't interested in playing. Right. The timeline on that is Thanksgiving before the Setters are. Peace out.
All right, dude, one last little bit of housekeeping news. Some of you may remember I was on the radio during the season on the Chomp Talk radio program on Sunday nights. Unfortunately, I got the can, dude. I'm done.
You're done?
Yeah, I'm out in the street, dude.
So who they replace you with?
The show has been replaced.
Are you kidding me, dude?
No joke. I'm done, dude. So it's like me and Billy Jaffe looking for coins.
Dude, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't getting paid anything anyway, so.
No, I mean, I'm not sorry about Chomp Talk. I'm sorry that I have to tell you that you've actually been replaced on Dudes on Hockey as well.
Dude.
Dude, I'd like to introduce the listeners to our new co-host, Mr. Nick Vallien.
Ooh.
Oh, Nick, how you doing?
Hamburgers.
Can you tell us what you thought about your performance with your new D partner, Mark Edward Vlasic?
I never read it. This is pretty much what I did.
Okay, great. What about the flight? What movie did they show on the flight on the way to Sweden? It must have been a long flight.
I don't think I had one so far.
You didn't watch a movie? That's really a bummer. How are you adjusting to the time difference?
Coldplay.
Okay, great. Dude, I'd like to take it back. You're back on the show. Nick Vallien is terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought those answers were a little insightful.
No.
No?
And on that note, that's our show. Hey!
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.